This is the Career Insights Podcast, brought to you by the University of Southern Queensland Careers and Employability Team.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Career Insights, where it's all about how to develop your professional identity, engage with industry and build experience, strengthen your confidence in career planning, and become the most employable you can be. I'm Jennifer Luke, Career Development Practitioner and a researcher with the University of Southern Queensland and a member of USQ's Careers and Employability Team. Engaging with industry, the who, where and how. That's the focus on today's episode, and our special guest will be sharing insights on the importance of being proactive and connecting study to real-world experience, because it's all about engaging with industry. As a senior lecturer in electrical engineering with the School of Mechanical and Electrical Engineering at USQ, our guest has extensive experience in industry as well as an educator. Welcome, Dr. Les Botel. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Jennifer.
So, Les, would you just like to start with giving us a bit of an overview about your current role or roles here at USQ?
So I've got a few roles here. I'm the electrical discipline leader. I'm also the employability lead and the health and safety representative for the HES engineering schools.
And with your roles, because you've got so many different roles here, your experience within engineering, both here at USQ, but before USQ, could you give us just a bit of an overview about your career?
Okay, so growing up in a rural environment, I was always pulling things apart and wondering how things work. So I guess teachers and friends sort of guided me towards engineering. In particular, my parents said I should go and learn engineering formally so I could try and put some of the things back together that I'd pulled apart. So it's always been something that has flavoured how I think, and I guess engineering really reflects, as choosing that as a career path. I think that it's really helped me develop those areas.
And I love the fact with those influences, and it was something that from a young age you had that technical focus, and it's led you into engineering. I do know that you have a very strong interest also in renewable energy systems. So I'd love to know just a little bit about how did you end up focusing in that area? What were the influences there?
Well, I guess you could describe it as some would say I'm a generalist. I'd rather say that I am looking at the circular economy, you know, people, the planet and profit in that order. And when you're looking at any one of those, you'll see that there's lots of interrelationships. And so my final year project was in photovoltaic renewables. But as I've gone on to my PhD and further work, a lot of the work has been involved with industry, reducing their energy input, coming up with ways to improve the carbon footprint and bottom line of industry and maintain prosperity and jobs in Australia. And I guess that's where I'm still tracking. We're currently looking at carbon-based work that makes use of waste products to derive energy for industry to power standard industrial processes, and then at the same time be able to sequester that or use that in organic processes. So it's everything, you know, it's that lovely circle of not just being one benefit, it's multifaceted benefits to everyone.
And I think just from what you've said there, Les, which I think it's fantastic, and you've really started to answer the next question I was going to ask, which is, just with engineering, so we're going to be talking about industries in general, but particularly because of engineering in the area that you're in, what industry sectors do you see engineering skills being needed? And you've already started to mention that within that renewables, but overall, so across all areas of engineering, what would be some of the industry sectors that you would say to a student, this is where your skills could be needed?
Well, I think with the growth of the global population, there's always going to be a need for increased and improved food, water, and general shelter and construction capabilities. And you know, as we look to go beyond, you know, there's also capabilities required for the moon and beyond. So if we can look at how to better utilize the resources we've got here, I think they all lead to the same point. We need to make things more efficient, be able to recycle and reuse where we can. So I think once you look into that, you can actually see that there's a wealth of opportunities that can open up if you want to go down any one of those particular avenues.
And that's such a good point. And I would probably then just ask, is the top skills that you would need to enter into any of these industries from an engineering point of view, is that what would be some of those skills? So for you, when you're talking to students and preparing them to do either work experience or graduate programs, or, you know, graduating and going out into their first full-time role in engineering, what would be some of those top skills that you would be saying to them, you need to make sure that you understand these are required?
I think the transferable skills that go across the entire sector there are sustainability, flexibility in terms of being able to program. So it doesn't really matter what language you pick, a structured programming language is important. And then the idea of how tolerant systems are, so looking at systems rather than just at a single element.
And that's really interesting, and the fact you mentioned up transferable skills, but looking at it from that systems approach, is that, would you say that a lot of times students can be looking at more of those technical skills, so, you know, very engineering specific skills, but it's also reminding them that there's all those other skills that they will be needing to have, as you've said, across different industries? Because with engineering, how aligned do you feel the skills that you learn as an engineering student are to possibly moving into, say, agriculture or the marine industry or even in the space industry?
I think that the generic skills that you learn in engineering are transferable across all of those. I think it's very easy as an engineer to think about the technical competencies that you've got. And for many years, I thought, oh, I got my first job because I could program a PLC. But then when I thought about it as the employability lead, when we were looking at social scaffolding and those aspects that, you know, people don't necessarily focus on as much, although the Engineers Australia and accreditation bodies do place a significant focus on it, I thought, well, if I hadn't actually engaged with the technical staff, if I didn't have morning tea chats with them and got confidence in just chatting to them, then I wouldn't have gone to the conference, the water conference, and had the courage to actually just say good day to my first employer. And so I guess that social scaffolding is really important as well.
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because the very next question I was going to ask you is, it's about those connections and the value of personal connections when building your career and seeking out opportunities. You hear people saying a lot of times that it's not what you know, but who you know. And what you were just saying then is, I would then ask, so what are your thoughts then on how important networking is for someone planning to enter or having just entered into their chosen industry? So it doesn't have to be engineering. This could be nursing, it could be education, it could be broadcast media. How much value do you see with those personal connections?
I think that it's a very busy world we live in, and from the perspective of someone who's got to try and fill positions and get new staff to do roles, quite often if you've got a trustworthy relationship with someone and one of their friends knows something, they may be able to alert them that, oh, there's a position coming up. And so just being able to prepare, you know, that's an advantage. But I guess that can get you into an interview. You've still got to have those technical skills and still be prepared to do your research. So I guess preparation is the key there. So Whether you know anyone or not, it's a very connected world, and there's lots of places where you can find that information. So I guess just knowing how others have gotten their jobs, so getting to know that, oh, they visited the community notice boards, or they did that. Because if you go into something a little bit half-baked and you don't put the preparation in, well, then you're not going to come across properly in the interview, I guess, is my advice there.
Yeah, and that's very good advice. And I would probably say then is, from a mentoring point of view, do you see that as being an important aspect for students? And even asking, is that something that you've experienced, having someone that's there as a mentor?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that you discover with engineering is that, coming from, say, a school environment, you do all these different aspects, and you could be a physicist, you could be a chemist, you could be an engineer. You don't really know until you actually try and apply things. And it's just certain ways that you do things that generally suit you towards any of those roles. So I think having a chance to try things out, you know, whether that's just a vacation employment or it's just a general, oh, okay, so tell me about what you do at work, you know. So if you can get that will or that work experience where you can actually go and see what they actually do, I think it can open your mind up to a range of things. I mean, one of the things that I'm aware of now that I didn't really at the time was that, you know, large diesel trucks, it's not what you think it is. They don't control them with wires and pulleys and whatnot. It's all ECUs and communication. So you don't need to get dirty at all to do motor controls on a, you know, large scale. So there's different communications and there's different aspects of the job that you don't actually know until you've actually been there and walked a mile in their shoes, I suppose, is the analogy there.
Yeah, and that's such a good point again. And you mentioned about work integrated learning, or WIL, and, you know, connecting in what you're studying with actual work experience. So, you know, getting the practice as well as the theory, the actual study. Is, I know from an engineering side of things, is that you have a professional association, as in Engineers Australia. But where else would you see students connecting in with? So I know I'm focusing a lot on the engineering side here, but from a professional association, as well as Engineers Australia, is there any other associations or even just groups that you've connected in with, or that you would be telling students, depending on the different areas of engineering they're doing, to also look into?
Well, there's professional societies as well. So when you look at EA, as you said, Engineers Australia, there's also IEEE for electrical engineers as well. So they're quite large groups that are not just national but international in a lot of respects. And you can get a better idea of the career opportunities and where things are going worldwide. So I think that's one perspective that you get when you choose international associations. Obviously, within Australia, we've got specific rules and regulations that are sometimes quite different to what you'll see overseas. So being an engineer in Australia, we'll have different safety regulations to, say, in the UK, Europe and America. So I guess it's a bit of best of both worlds, where you should have a national perspective and also a broader international. They have all sorts of competitions and things like that, and usually it's an opportunity for students to actually get together and share experiences, you know, from it doesn't have to be in your final year. You might come along as a first year to some of these final year presentations by IEEE or the IET, where students are presenting their final year projects. And I think that the more you do of that in your early studies, the better chance you have of actually finding the right type of engineering. So you might have done that first pass and said, okay, I figure I'm suited to engineering in general, but you know, does computer systems, does automation and control or power engineering, what really should I be heading towards to actually match both my ambitions and my skill sets? So I think that getting involved early on is an important part of making those sense of, sense of identity and belonging for students, and making sure that they're heading in the right direction. They're not going to sort of get to the end and decide, oh, I should have done mechanical or I should have done civil, etc. So I think the more you can do first up, the better.
Oh, thank you, Les. And the fact you, it was very interesting, the fact you mentioned about having that sense of identity. And that has been something that has started to pop up in each of the episodes we've done so far with our guest speakers. And they have represented all different disciplines, but it's having that professional identity. And the fact you mentioned, you know, in your first year, that's when you need to start building that by understanding, you know, the different areas you can go with your career. And so what I'd probably just ask, because this is one of the biggest and usually the first mentioned issues that we hear within the careers and employability team with students, is that issue of building their confidence. And this isn't just first years. This can be third years, fourth years, research students. But, you know, unless a student's overflowing with confidence and is very extroverted naturally, what would you see as being the first steps for someone to take in beginning to build their professional confidence? Because the majority of students would be feeling as though, I don't know where to start with all of this. So what would you say to a student just to get them to have that little bit of confidence to begin looking at options?
I think the first thing to acknowledge is that, you know, amongst the engineering student body, we're not naturally the folk who go out and talk publicly, and it does take a lot of effort. So there's a lot of nerves, a lot of anxiety there. But just realizing that, you know, you're amongst friends. So understand that, yes, even your lecturers, even the people who have been here, since last century, they've all got these qualms about public speaking and big crowds, and they'd much rather talk about technical things. And I guess you can utilize that and say, well, all right, well, start off, look up an article, look up who's in your faculty in an area that you want to talk to. And I'm sure if you mention something about their pet area, I mean, if someone mentions carbon while I've got a coffee in my hand, they could be gone for the next half hour.
Yes. So
take the initiative to think about where you want to go. Seek out either your program convener or discipline leads or just your lecturers. And I'm sure, you know, that they'd be happy to talk about their pet areas. And this is a fairly low-stakes, safe opportunity to just practice. And I guess another more formal approach, there are actually formalized processes like OnPrime, run by CSIRO, that has a set procedure that goes through for postgrad students in actually getting them to be able to come up with comfortable ways to engage with others and a recipe, if you like, for how to start off a conversation at a barbecue. And these are all well-known and practiced approaches. So once again, talk to your program conveners, talk to your discipline leads and lecturers. I'm sure they can point you in the right direction for some recipes on how to start that icebreaker type conversation.
And I think that is great advice. And it definitely will help with that communication skills as well, which is what everybody needs to learn while they're studying. So thank you for that, Les. And I would probably just bring in that work integrated learning, just with what you said there, is that if a student is doing some work experience and in providing an advantage for them in the workforce, do you see this as being also an opportunity for them to build on their networking skills?
Yeah, I think definitely when you're looking at where you are in work integrated learning, you're actually in a different setting altogether. You know, it's fairly high stakes for businesses these days. You know, time is money. Money's hard to come by. And things can be a little bit serious, but then if you're respectful, you know, in a workplace, sometimes it's those coffee chats where, you know, you can talk to people calmly and have a little bit of a time to see, well, what's actually driving the business? Where do they see they're headed? Maybe you can show that, oh, I've been studying that in my course, and maybe, you know, that's something that I could assist with. You know, so you've got to actually show in those casual conversations how you're both willing and able to actually contribute further. And I think it's not easy. It's easy to say that, but I think when you're going through your courses, more than ever, when we're looking at the construction of our courses, we are looking at those opportunities to embed authentic assessments and real world attributes in our assessments. So hopefully that's reflected in the conversations that occur in the will opportunities as well.
And I think from what you've said there is that it really is encouraging students during that work experience or preparing to go out there and get some experience. It's about having that proactiveness and being adaptable and just having that mindset to be looking for building opportunities, because that will help them succeed in the industry. And I would probably just ask you then, just for a final couple of questions, is that for students beginning to seek out graduate opportunities, and this can be halfway through their degree, it can be just before they graduate, is what can they do in terms of looking for those graduate opportunities? So within engineering, for example, where can students start to be looking for, okay, here's opportunities, a graduate role that I can be going for?
So I think one of the easiest places to formally look would be the community study desks, and obviously you can go to careers and employability and look at what opportunities for internships, etc., are coming up there. I believe they also advertise on the study desk, community study desks as well. More informally, when you're doing pretty much every one of our courses at USQ, you've got roughly 70 to 80% people in jobs on the study desk. So answering questions on study desk, you know, having a good rapport with students in the same course as you as you're going along, you know, it doesn't hurt you to have a bit of an informal chat and say, so what do you do in your job and what relates to this course, etc. And you may find that that then leads to, oh, okay, look them up on LinkedIn, get yourself a LinkedIn profile, and you can see what opportunities are coming up there. Now, these people in jobs are often not just entry level. They've often got other positions where they might be on the team of selection, and they know that you're a good, solid worker who's been proactive and you know, helpful on study desk. You've really done an informal interview there. You've actually shown some history of being polite, useful, and professional. So I think as we go through our courses, we've got lots of opportunities where we can engage informally with industry and actually find out a bit more about where we want to go in our careers.
Thank you, Les. Everything that you've mentioned with today's episode has really covered about building those relationships, having that professional identity, understanding where you're wanting to go, and all of that is key, along with the actual technical skills that you're learning. And I would probably just finish with is that finally, what would be your final words? So, you know, two or three sentences, what would you provide as advice to anyone who has a career planned but not sure about where to start in building those opportunities?
I'd say take every opportunity. Don't let an opportunity go by. Make sure that you take the opportunity to go and seek people to talk to, find out more. You're naturally inquisitive in an engineering role, so use that and find out as much as you can about people, careers, and their jobs. And I think it'll just naturally develop from there. So it might start off small, but you've got to start somewhere. It does take a little bit of courage to make that initial contact, but 9 times out of 10, people are pretty good about it. So they know that they've been in the same boat. So don't be scared. Have a go. What's the worst that can happen? You know, it's not like it's life or death. So just be a little bit courageous and it will pay off, I'm sure.
Thank you so much, Les. That's a perfect way to finish off. So I would just say thank you so much for coming along for today's episode and sharing all that information. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jennifer.
So thanks for joining us for today's Career Insights show. A huge thank you to Dr. Les Botel for joining us and generously sharing his insights.
Career Insights is brought to you by the University of Southern Queensland Careers and Employability Team and is produced by USQ Creative Arts student Byron Quayle.
It's time to invest in yourself at the University of Southern Queensland. With over 110 degrees available, now is the time to study with a university that supports you. With flexible study options, you can choose to speed your degree up or go at your own pace. Whether you study online, on campus, or both, you're in control. Come out on top when you study with Australia's number one university for graduate starting salary. Your time starts now. Start study in July at the University of Southern Queensland. Apply at usq.edu.au/yourtime.